speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Our nation is now in war, and Christians have been in spiritual battle ever since the cross. It's nothing new for us, really. We are soldiers of the cross. We are to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon life eternal. And, of course, the war that we fight is not a physical warfare, but it is a spiritual warfare. It is not fought with physical guns and planes, as we see the war that is now going on, but it is fought with the good work of those who learn the text of the Bible and walk in it. The Bible is our sword. The shield of faith is our shield. The breastplate of righteousness is our breastplate of guard. And, of course, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of these things are revealed in Ephesians 6, verse 10, when the Lord said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against rather principalities, against powers, against world rulers of darkness, and against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taken the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And, of course, this is the helmet of salvation also that is upon our head." So when we notice these words, we know that strength is there for the taking. We realize to be strong in the Lord is to be made powerful in the Lord. And a man can be made powerful in the Lord when His Word effectually works in him. If His Word doesn't effectually dwell in a man, he won't be strong. He won't have all of this protection that has been given by God. But we, being dependent upon Him to perform our duties and to bear our trials and to conquer every foe, we have to be strong in the Lord if we want to be strong at all. And so when He speaks here of the evil day, He's talking about that day when we're tempted to sin, when we're assailed by enemies, when we're beset with trials. And those are times when we really have to depend on our armor, isn't it? Soldiers over in the war become very weary, and they have to fight on even though they are weary. And they oftentimes have to look on further beyond that which is the present time to that which is the future victory. We've spoken today concerning spiritual strategy for spiritual victory. And we believe that certainly that is necessary if we're going to be saved. We have to figure the strategy. Are you here for the long haul? Our president concerning this war has said it's going to be a long time before we're able to win the battle. But you know that's the way with the Christian battle too. It's going to take the rest of your life. But what could be more worthy and worthwhile than to fight the good fight of faith and to be able to say with Paul at the close of life, "I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I have finished my course, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not unto me only, but unto all of them that love His appearing." If you're not going to the Word of God for your strength, where are you going to go? Every man has some strategy for his life. It may be money that you think is the main power of life. It may be prestige. It may be popularity. It may be the way you think of your birth and what you are in this world. But friend, the strategy of every child of God is to be a soldier of the cross, a soldier of Christ, and to find in Him the strength which is needed to go onward and to do those things God commands. In John 6, there were those who left the Lord. And it says upon this saying, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Friend, if you leave the Lord, there is nowhere else to go. Not for eternal welfare, not for spiritual strength, not for the hope of heaven at last. So, as we hear the Lord saying, "Preach the Word," as we notice He did preach the Word, as we notice Paul says, "Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel," and then we realize how important it is to fight that good fight of faith and lay hold upon life eternal, don't we? October the 7th, 2001, today, will be a day that will be remembered long, even in our history books. because war has been declared on terrorism. And you know the Christian, as I said, has been in war, a spiritual conflict ever since the cross, against the ideas of wickedness in high places. And the Christian will survive. He will have victory unless he gives over frightened and tired. Paul said, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And our afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. Why, we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." So when we think of home, not only the home on the earth, but the home being in the church, and then that eternal home of heaven, we realize that these are beautiful terms that convey unto us beautiful thoughts concerning peace, concerning tranquility and rest, concerning contentment and pleasure and safety, and that's what we so desire. In these perilous times, where is going to be your habitation? Where is it going to be that you go for refuge? Would it not be to the Word of God? That's where it ought to be. And when you go to the Word of God for refuge, you find the strength to go on. You find the anchor for your soul. You find the mooring that is able to hold you even when it is difficult. You find the safety for the soul and the light and the anchor. And you find also the mirror and the saving power and the liberty. And we need to be sure that we don't lose the Word of God, don't we? First of all, we learned this morning the Word of God is that which is the medium of the Holy Spirit for operation on men's hearts. And it is by that that He convicts, He converts, and He sets apart for eternal welfare. It is also true that the Word of God shows us the way to heaven. Without that Word, we wouldn't know. You know not one thing about heaven or hell, God, Christ, or the Holy Spirit, except that which you have learned in the Word of God. So if the Word is either our complete guide or it is not our guide at all, then if we're going to figure our strategy for spiritual victory, we're going to have to go to the Word of God to make that plan. There is no other place to which we can go. We implicitly depend upon the Word of God for our strategy of how we're going to live life and what we're going to do with our lives so that we will not miss the blessings of heaven. Well, the strategy tonight includes then the seed of the kingdom. Luke 8:11 says, "The seed of the kingdom is the Word of God." But He said there's some of that seed that fell on the wayside soil. It was hard. It was packed where people had been walking, and it would not sink in. There are a lot of people's hearts, He said, which are like that. Then there's some who are like the rocky soil. The rocky soil had small pockets of dirt on it, but it wasn't enough to let it grow down and get a good depth of root here. So it was true that these for a while looked good, but then in the time of the heat of the day, they faded away. Then there are those like those in the thorny ground. You recall that they started out well, but then the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life grew up and choked out the Word. Remember that. The Word is what got choked out, and that's what stopped their progress. And friend, if it be in your life that the Word of God has gotten choked out, you can rest assured that you're in that thorny ground that's going to end up not well. But then the fourth kind of soil was the good ground. He said there the Word fell into a good and honest heart, and it brought forth fruit because it was kept, it was practiced, it was lived. And that's what we have to do, and be sure that we don't miss that. We realize there's no salvation promised outside the kingdom. When Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," He was talking about the kingdom. Because in the next verse, He said to the apostles, "I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now we understand that the seed of the kingdom, as in Luke 8:11 says, is the Word of God. That's what turned the Colossian brethren into the kingdom. Because He said He delivered them out of the power of darkness and translated them into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But here is the reason for that. That people can come into the kingdom is because of the seed. You know, life is in the seed, and the kind of seed that it is determines what kind of life it is. Now, this is not physical seed, so He's not talking about physical life here. When He said, "Few shall enter in," He wasn't talking about physical life in Matthew 7. He was talking about eternal life there, because everyone enters into physical life, from the very youngest to the very oldest. Everybody is in the human life, because human seed produced them. But this, rather, is a spiritual kingdom produced by spiritual seed. So in John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world. Then if it were, then would my disciples fight that I should not be taken of the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." So the seed that is needed here is the spiritual seed. And that seed, of course, is the Word of God. Now, if you don't plant that Word in the hearts of men, you're not going to have Christians. Just like the farmer who doesn't plant his seed in the earth will have no crop. It's just that simple, isn't it? So when we understand that we want life, we remember that the Word has to be preached so that men can have life. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear unless they have preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things." But He said they've not all obeyed the gospel. For even Isaiah says, "Lord, who's believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So we have to hear the Word of God because it has to be planted in our hearts before we can have life in us, eternal life and life in Christ. So understanding this then, God's way of growth in the church is to teach, isn't it? And a man who doesn't have the gospel reigning in his heart is not a Christian, is he? 1 Peter 3:15, he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and with fear." So here's the Word of God, so important to our lives. You know, that's what caused people to be Christians in the first century. In Acts 11, verse 26, it says that Paul taught a whole year in Antioch. And then he says the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch is after they've been taught. Nobody can be a Christian until they've been taught. In Acts the 26th chapter in verse 28, Paul was teaching Agrippa. And he called Agrippa and caused Agrippa to say, "Paul almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What was he using to persuade him? The Word of God. That's all we have, isn't it? That's the only power of persuasion that God makes upon man. And the only power of persuasion that the Holy Spirit works on man. So 1 Peter 4:16, the third time and the last time the term Christian is used in the text, he said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." So here's the name that we're to wear when we do the things the Word commands and become members of the kingdom. But we further learn that the Word is essential to that new birth too, isn't it? We can't enter the kingdom without the new birth. New birth, of course, brings new life. We all realize that not any time is life begun or brought forth except at birth. So Jesus had a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who was a ruler of the Jews, who came to him by night and asked him about that new birth. And Jesus said in verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born a second time? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, there are a lot of people who disagree with that. They think there are other ways to enter the kingdom except being born of water and the Spirit. Born of water and the Spirit simply means being baptized at the Spirit's command. So, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said, "By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." That's born of water and the Spirit. So, we find baptism in harmony with the Holy Spirit's teaching and command is what brings one into that new birth. Now, a lot of people just want you to tell your experience. And then sometimes they say, "Well, you're saved and then you can join the church of your choice." Or they say, "If you tell your experience, you're saved at the moment of faith, and then later you can be baptized if you want to, but it's non-essential." You know, all of that's muddy water. There's not any truth in any of that. None of it matches the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't teach that. The Word of God doesn't teach for you to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," and you'll be a Christian then. No. It says, "Except a man," that means if and only if a man is born of water and the Spirit, he won't enter the kingdom. Now, you know that before birth, there has to be the begetting. There has to be the planting of the seed. And so we learn here that the begetting precedes birth, and the spiritual begetting takes place when a man hears the Word. 1 Peter 1:22 and verses following, he said, "We have cleansed or purified our hearts in obeying the truth through the Spirit." unto unfeigned love of the brethren. He said, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being begotten again. Do you get that? Being begotten again. Having the seed planted. Being begotten again means a second time. You were begotten first of all to bring you into this physical life. But the second time you are regenerated. Brought into the spiritual life. So, here's the second birth. All of us who are Christians have been born twice. And this is the second birth here. He said, except a man be born of water, he can't enter the kingdom. But here he said, we do that when we obey the gospel. Seeing you have purified your hearts in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Watch it now. Being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now he said, all flesh is of the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. Paul knew that he was indeed the agent here, using the instrument of the gospel to bring men to obedience. 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So what's the begetting power? Well, it's the gospel. Any new life without the gospel? No. If you'll follow just a moment this simple reasoning then, faith is essential to the new birth, is it not? Sure. You can't have the new birth without faith. We're all made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26, 27. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. So that's necessary. Faith is essential or necessary to the new birth. But the Word is essential to faith, is it not? Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, we have faith essential to the new birth, the Word essential to faith, and therefore the preaching of the Word is essential to the new birth. You can't have the new birth without the Word. Just can't have it at all. And so, if you are going to make your strategy for spiritual victory, you're going to have to find it in the Word of God. So next of all, we learn the Word is that which gives knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Now, if the Word of God is able to do that, and we can't get it anywhere else, then of course we need to go to that Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. In 2 Peter 3:18, he said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. In 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, Paul said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, now Timothy, you from a child have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then he said in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which was first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded in thee also. Ah, what a wonderful thing when faith can be established in our children and in our grandchildren. And you know what? That's where we gain the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. No man has it till he turns to the Word of God. In order for us to be saved in God's wisdom, we've got to be wise in God's Word. You remember 1 Corinthians 1:21 we noted this morning? Seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, we gain knowledge there, don't we? Saving knowledge. We gain wisdom there because Ephesians 5:17 says, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So that's a command. We can understand it, and we can all understand it alike. So when we understand it, put it in our hearts, it is that knowledge of the sword of the Spirit, pardon me, that makes us wise, isn't it? That gives us the strength and enough to go into the spiritual conflict and win the battle. So what is your strategy for victory? How are you going to win the battles? How are you going to keep your soul steady in the course? How are you going to see heaven as a goal? It's because of the Word of God, isn't it? Because the Word of God is what saves. You cannot be saved in any other way. James 1:21, he said, now putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, what he's talking about in the first part of that verse is repentance, isn't it? Put away wickedness. Put away all those things that cause you to stumble. And receive with meekness, that is a pure open mind, the word. That's really not weak, because he said it's able to save your soul. So if you follow the word of God, it will save. Paul said it's God's power unto salvation. And we learn that God saves by drawing us by the gospel, John 6, 44, 45, and that the gospel is the power by which God draws. And so if you are not drawn with the gospel, you won't be drawn to God. He's not going to whisper to you. He's not going to push you. He's not going to stumble you. He's not going to cause you to have a catastrophe in your life. He's going to let the word sink into your heart. And if that's not power enough, there's not enough power to convert you. There's not enough power to convict you of your sins. There's not enough power to set you apart from the world. It's the Word of God that has to do that. And, of course, that's God's grace. It's the grace that's given through His Word. You remember He says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul does, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. But I labored more than they all. And the grace neither, but not me, but the grace of God that labored with me." So Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." He was a Christian. And he tried to persuade others to be Christians. He said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians 5:11. So we learn in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace have you been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He afore prepared that we should walk in them." So when Paul left Ephesus, he said, "Now I commend you, brethren, unto God, unto the word of His grace," word of His grace, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me," Acts 20 and verse 32. What is your strategy, friend? What is your strategy for entering into life? Is it the word of God? Is it your plan to be knowledgeable of God's word, wise in that word, understanding in that word? Is it true that you have to be born again of water and the Spirit by that word? I think it is. Without a doubt, you cannot be saved without that word. God saves, grace saves, but it's urgent that men obey the word of God, or they don't have God saving and they don't have grace saving. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9, he said, "Do you who are troubled rest with us? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, He come in flaming fire. And He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." You see the urgency of obeying? "Go into all the world," Jesus said after His resurrection, "and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He is the author," Hebrews 5:9, "of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey Him." Both saint and sinner have the same obligation: obey God. Take Christ at His word. Do what He says. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we see in this the urgency of men obeying the word of God. Because why? Well, the word's going to judge us in the last day, isn't it? John 12:48, He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken are the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In Revelation 20 and verse 12, he said, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works." So here's the books of law, here's the book of life, and they're going to be compared. Your name is there. And as to what you have done or not done, your judgment will be. So here's the books of law, here's the book of life, they'll be compared. You know what? Man's word won't judge us. God's word will. Are you more worried about man's word than you are God's word? There are some who fear man more than God. Matthew 10:28, though Jesus said, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Who do you fear? Is it the Word of God that leads you, that guides you, that is the strategy for eternal victory? I hope it is. Because that Word directs you to hear it and believe it and to repent of your sins. and to confess the precious name of Christ with your mouth before men, and to be buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism to wash away your sins. And he said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them drift away from us. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken to us by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, both with signs and wonders and manifold deeds and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now there is the plan for victory, the strategy by which we can be saved. It all is based upon God's Word. Where else will you go? To whom shall you go? Except to him that has the Word of eternal life. And that, of course, is the Lord. And his Word is able to strengthen. His Word is able to give you success. And his Word ought to be your guide in all things. Have you obeyed the Word? If not, why not? If not, you're not safe. If you have, then you are safe. But you know, when war comes, it's too late to put on your armor then. Have on your armor before the war comes, before the shooting starts, and then you'll be ready, won't you? We're to be ready. And that's what we ought to be. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, name his name tonight before men. It's your honor to do so. And be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins. Sin is a horrible way to live and a horrible way to die. Sin will cause you to be eternally lost. If you keep yourself in it, you can't be saved. So tonight, come and put it off. Will you come now? While together we stand and while we sing.